He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday edition. It's the old Friday fade edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And what do I mean by the Friday fade? Well, it just seems to be every Friday the NASDAQ opens to the positive. It's still positive, but it was up, I think, around 90 points at one time. After yesterday's big sell-off, and now it's up just 18. One strategy for that fade, which has become pretty predictable, buy a little bit of SARK, S-A-R-K, which is Cathie Wood's double inverse at the beginning of the market, make a little money on Friday, and go out for a nice dinner on Saturday. Well, it's not that predictable, but it's been pretty predictable lately. The Dow is up 35,260. The NASDAQ is up 22, 14,085. S&P 500 is up 6, the 4540. Crude oil up 63 cents to 76.28. Crude has had a good week. The energy stocks have had a good week. Silver down 8 cents. Gold just hanging out in the high 1900s right now, 1965. And we've got Bitcoin, or the 10-year at 3.81 after a big sell-off in the bond market yesterday. And I got to believe it was the jobless claims coming in less than expected. And Bitcoin's down $200 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, here with Barry Kite. Today it's the Barbieheimer edition, right, Barry, of the Best Stocks Now show.
I've seen, it's funny you say that. I've seen this morning, I mean, didn't matter what financial news station I was watching, somehow everybody had a had a, you know, pink Barbie brush in the background.
Is that what the pink is all about? Because I watched last night, and he was wearing a pink little kind of thing. I don't know the hydrogen bomb and Barbie go together and Ken and all of this and that, but somehow that's your double feature for the weekend. I'm going to wait, you know. I'll listen to hear the reviews, whether it's suitable for kids under 10 years old. I doubt it in today's world.
Yeah, and in nowadays world, it's you know, it's funny. My wife does they have a pediatric dental for a pediatric dentist, and they'll say, "Hey, pop this on the Disney Channel," you know, and it's in the background, and like first four words are words that you know probably shouldn't be said at the pediatric dentist office, and it's like, oh, change the channel.
Oh, it's just like unbelievable. Okay, now, yesterday's market was
and that's Spider-Man, by the way.
Yeah, that's Spider-Man. Yesterday's market was kind of PG-13 there for a while. In fact, it was rough. I mean, that's the roughest day the NASDAQ's had since March. But it's bound to happen from time to time. You've had this massive move in the NASDAQ, outsized move, and especially in certain stocks such as Tesla and Netflix. And, you know, they're just set themselves up for any kind of little bit of disappointment, and you're going to see a big sell-off like that. So, you know, is it fair that the entire NASDAQ goes down because of really just two stocks? No, it doesn't seem very logical, but that's the way the market works. Because the market on a day-to-day basis has a lot of sentiment in it, either fear or greed. And you get a couple of stocks that miss. Tesla didn't really miss other than their profit margin went from 11.4 down to 9.6, which, by the way, is still a very healthy profit margin. The car business is known for 3 to 4% profit margin, your legacy automakers. but not Tesla. You know, they're waiting in line to get a Tesla, and that he's been able to maintain that profit margin. But he had to do a little bit of, you know, adjusting of the price this past quarter, and the end result was a little bit of a hit to the profit margin. And that set the market reeling. The Dow, by the end of the day, was down 200, or the NASDAQ, down 295 points. And believe it or not, the Dow was up 170 points. Go figure, you know. Two stocks mean that the whole tech sector is sour, going sour. But the Dow's okay.
Call that some divergence. We hadn't had much divergence.
No, the divergence was the other way around. You know, the NASDAQ was up 200 and the Dow was down 150. Yep. And there seems to be the course of least resistance right now is not into high PE stocks. The course of least resistance is searching out lower PE stocks. Now, I did a screen yesterday on my database of how many stocks in the database have 80% or more upside potential. Out of 6,000, there's about 1,300, and that's the list I was working off of yesterday, and I was cleaning up some of those. You know, the raw data sometimes, it's the exception, not the rule, but sometimes embedded somewhere in your data providers will be a growth rate of 120% per year over the next 5 years. Well, you know what? I have to overwrite growth rates like that. I look at their historical growth rates and I write them down to them. I have to. There's artificial intelligence for you, you know. It may be less than 5% of the stocks in my database have that issue. Where there's some crazy number that's in there somewhere. Maybe there's only one person that follows the stock, one analyst, and he's got some growth rate that's way out of whack. Well, there's really nothing you can do about it because that's the data you're going to pull in. I get my data from Refinitiv Icon, which is the same place Yahoo Financial gets their data, and it's not cheap. But you're going to get anomalies like that. And that's why it takes, you know, that's why therein lies one of the issues with artificial intelligence.
It's got to be massaged.
Yeah, I had to use my own personal intelligence, which nowhere close to artificial intelligence, you know, but just a little wisdom and a little bit just being logic. And saying, well, this company has always done about 15% growth per year. Why would it be all of a sudden 90 for the next five? So I did some adjusting. I got a lot more to do cleaning up. I just want to go through those 1,200 stocks or so, which is time-consuming, and make sure that those percent upside potential is right. But still, you know, look, we probably had 60% of the market met my valuation criteria at the beginning of the year, and now we're down to maybe 20 to 25% of the market. Now, from the valuation criteria, meeting the valuation criteria, now you've got to meet the momentum and the performance criteria, and you have to look good from a technical basis. So that really narrows it down. I did find a couple yesterday that stood out to me. One we already owned. I bought more of it. I put our new clients into it, which we've had a lot of new clients here in the last couple months. That's always a big job, putting that money to work. And I found a brand new one yesterday that I really, really liked. It was a dividend-paying stock with 97% upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years. So that's what we're up to here at Gunderson Capital Management.
And hasn't been easy to find some of those in the dividend space this year, right?
No, the dividend stocks have underperformed, but now that's starting to come around,
yep.
It's funny how that works. The market seems to kind of be looking for more of the value dividend stocks, which it completely shunned in the first half of the year. Second half of the year is going to be a little bit different. I said that in my newsletter. I said we're entering into a new phase, not a new market. We're entering into a new phase of the market because what we predicted has happened. You know, the Fed has backed off. We don't expect very much in the way of more interest rate hikes, if any. But in the meantime, the market's gotten a lot more expensive. Individual stocks have gotten a lot more expensive. The stocks that were gobbled up in the first half, like Apple and stocks like that, aren't viable here at these valuation levels. But then some of them are. So you just have to now, the big deciding factor is the chart and the valuation. That's what separates the men from the boys, the Barbies from the Heimers here at this point in time. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back talking about what happened in the market yesterday. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Tesla was down almost 10% yesterday, which is a big drop. I mean, it got really close to $300 per share. On Wednesday, it got to $299.29, and now it's at $260. So it's lost $39 in value per share over the last 2 days. It's down 1% today. Tesla always trades heavy volume. I mean, you watch the price and it just blinks. You know, every time it blinks, that's a trade. And it's constantly blinking. Tesla, it came down to the, you know, the profit margin. That was it. So does that mean that you go out and sell Tesla here at this level because their profit margin went from 11.4 to 9.6. Well, maybe their profit margin will go back up to 11%. Maybe that was just a temporary blip in the system. Or is the EV market getting more competitive?
Or maybe they'll sell more cars, right?
Yeah, they've got the truck rolling out. Yeah. I don't know how fast the sales will ramp up there, but they did roll the first one off the line. So anyways, you know, the whole market sells off because of new stock. Netflix today is, it's stabilizing. You know, it was down 7 or 8% yesterday, and it's down 1.3% today. And there was also one other. There was one other one that impacted the trading yesterday. It was Taiwan Semiconductor. And they've softened up. Their sales actually were down 10%. 14% year over year, and their earnings were down 27%, and they gave a pretty soft outlook forecast for the entire semiconductor industry, and they slowed down the building of that plant, fab plant in Phoenix.
Yeah, what pushed it out like another year, right? I mean,
and that's what pretty did they significant.
Say? Yeah, and of course their reasoning, they couldn't find skilled workers, right?
So yes, okay. And here's the other thing that I would say is over the last 10 years, I don't know of a better sector in the market. I'd say 20 years really, than the semiconductor sector. Had you just forget the S&P, just bought the semiconductor sector. I'm just going to look it up here. I'm just going to look at one ETF that comes to mind, SMH. Over the last 10 years, SMH has delivered 24.4% per year over the last 10 years. Now, that means your money's doubling every 3 years. Will it do that over the next 10 years? I doubt it very much. It won't do those kinds of numbers. But it's still a killer sector in the market, and it's still driving the artificial intelligence craze that's going on right now. Okay, now the one that's really stepping up to the plate here and reminding us that don't count us out is Google or Alphabet.
I thought you were going to say Digital World Acquisition, DWAC.
Yeah.
It's at 54% today.
Yeah, they subbed with the SEC.
Is that what it was? I didn't
know. I don't know. I'm
not
sure
which one you're about to pick.
How many threads can the market support? You've got Twitter under Musk, and now you've got a major player with Meta.
Mm-hmm.
DWAC obviously started by Trump behind it. But they settled, okay, with the anything Trump does, the regulators are going to come after him, whether he deserves it.
It's the SEC, FTC.
It's just the way it is.
You know,
every three
acronym.
Letter, FBI, yeah. IRS, that he's not liked in Washington. Okay, now let's see. So Google is lining up their ducks, and you know, the other thing I read about Google's efforts is you've got the two big guys of Google. This is where they're spending all their time. The co-founders of mm-hmm. Alphabet, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, they usually don't spend much time at Google since they left their daily roles in 2019, but they have upped their visits to ensure that AI is front and center in the company's plans. In fact, Brin is now in the office 3 to 4 days a week to develop the next large artificial intelligence system that hopes to challenge GPT. And it's all about the search. You know, they've been the king of search for all these years. And now anybody, you know, Microsoft, I'm sure, is taking some share, market share away from them in search.
And they've had a huge moat. They've had a huge moat around that, around that piece of the business. And I guess they're showing up to keep digging those trenches around it, right? And make it bigger.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, and they're offering it. You know, look, journalism is garbage to begin with, but now they're thinking of they're offering to journalists AI. So really, you're not going to know. Probably even today, now, you don't know if that article you're reading came from AI or a journalist, right? It's kind of a world of deception that we're living in
today. It is kind of odd.
Very odd.
They're going to feel like there's going to have to start being some kind of disclaimer right at the bottom where, this article was assisted. 70% of this article was assisted by AI.
I've just sampled it. I said, okay, write a wrap on the week for the market for the newsletter. I wanted two paragraphs, and it writes a pretty darn good. But, you could use it as an outline. I certainly wouldn't use it as the article. But, we're getting into a world that's getting more and more into deception. Anytime I read an article that I know something about, a lot about, I say, wow, this isn't even close to being true. All right. Now, these weight loss drugs, they're in the news. And, one of the stocks that bucked the trend yesterday was Novo Nordisk, the NASDAQ was down big. Novo Nordisk had a really good day yesterday, and it's tacking on another $1.14. Now, I would say this, with or without Wegovy, this is still one of the best drug stocks in the whole market. But now you've got the lawmakers reintroducing a bill to offer Medicare coverage for weight loss drugs. And I would predict that eventually that's going to pass, because most of your health problems today come from the root cause is obesity and overweight. And it seems to me that if you can take care and get some people's weight under control, they're going to have a lot less problems down the road with arthritis, diabetes, heart, whatever the problem is. So that stock saw a pop yesterday, and it's seeing another pop today. That's the story. We own NVO. It's a dividend payer, and it does meet my criteria. And the big question is right now, will Medicare cover these weight loss drugs? And of course, there's two other big drug companies that also have drugs of their own. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about that Pfizer tornado yesterday and then a soft landing.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The NASDAQ has now gone negative. That's the Friday fade. From 90, up 90 to down 1. Let's check in on Sark. Sark was down a half
an hour,
percent.
Huh? About an hour.
Yeah, I considered buying just a little. I do that in my own play account every Friday right after the market opens. I didn't do it today. I was too busy. But Sark was down about a half a percent. Now it's up. So you could have made about 75 basis points so far if you'd have bought it right at the open. We'll see where it closes on the day. Isn't that big reshuffling of the NASDAQ taking place today?
Taking place right now, yeah. I was expecting to see a bit more volatility, but we'll see how it works out throughout the day. If you get the Friday fade, maybe the traders gonna have to stick around a little bit longer to get this rebalance done.
You would think that the rebalancing would have a negative impact on the NASDAQ because you're selling some of these great big stocks that have driven most of the gains of the NASDAQ. You're paring them down, and you're buying ones that are not quite as good. We'll see where it all lands. I very rarely do much trading on Friday. I kind of tend to focus on Wednesday and Thursday, with Monday and Tuesday kind of doing my research, narrowing it down. Some weeks I find nothing. Some weeks I find a lot. It just depends. I found a 2 yesterday. That I really liked. 3, actually. 3. We bought 3 yesterday. Let's see. 2 were new. 1 was new, and 2 were ones that we already own. Now, let's take a look here. I want to take a look at this Pfizer story. It's funny how that tornado seemed to single out that Pfizer facility. But what was in that Pfizer facility is one of the largest producers of sterile injectable products, including anesthesia, anti-infectives, and neuromuscular blockers, and it supplied around 25% of the injectables used in U.S. hospitals. That's crazy that one little facility in Rocky Mount, North Carolina.
It's ridiculous. I mean, that's what I was saying yesterday. It almost makes me mad if you think about it, right? You look at what you got 25% of, something that's important, right? Produced at one place. If we had, if we had all our clients in 25% in one stock, right? It's not allowed.
Right. No.
It's just, did we not learn anything from the formula shortage? Remember when you had Abbott, right, who made the formula and it went, remember that plant had issues and what, 33, I think they were making 33% of the U.S.'s formula?
And there's already shortages. I know a lot of the people, cancer treatments, there's also shortages in other drugs right now, and Pfizer's been trying to expand production at this site to help ease these shortages. Well, that didn't help yesterday because the plant.
Yeah, they need
you
to build
look
one.
It up, the picture
yeah, build one
it.
On the other side of the Mississippi River, right? You need to spread them out a bit.
Spread them out a little bit geographically.
Thankfully,
okay.
No one was hurt in the. I don't think anyone.
No,
was,
I don't think
killed
anybody
or anything
was
in the tornado.
Hurt.
But I did see where 58,000 pallets of medicine were just thrown around. Like, I mean, where is that? Where does that stuff end up?
Yes.
I mean, some of that stuff's for epidural. The last thing you said is for epidurals.
Epidurals, so, right. Yeah. Okay, so now let's take a look at other shortages, potential shortages. That's something that I always worry about and try to have a backup plan. Grain futures calm down, but Russia-Ukraine supplies are more precarious than ever. And, of course, it's just amazing with what's going on in Ukraine that any grain comes out, that there's any grain left. Who is harvesting the grain? Who is planting the grain with bombs flying? Maybe that area is out of harm's way. Well, I don't know.
I saw where they had like record grain amounts. And it's like, how can you, you know, here? I mean,
yeah,
you're
doing
all that, and like you said, in the middle of you know, in the middle of a war.
Well, wheat is a staple. Now the second staple that's in trouble, India fuels food inflation fears with the latest rice export ban. Well,
yep.
India's got a lot of people to feed, their own people.
And they want to keep it there.
And they are now not going to export rice. India has banned exports of non-basmati white rice, effective immediately, to ensure adequate availability in the country and rein in soaring domestic prices. The world's biggest rice exporters has seen retail prices for rice increase 11.5% year over year. Well, you can get a sack of rice at your local Costco or your local Smart and Final or your local Chef's Warehouse, wherever it is. Get yourself a 5-gallon bucket from Home Depot, about $3, right? $3.50. Get a lid. Mm-hmm. And then I bought those Mylar bags that fit inside 5-gallon buckets. You can get a 10 of them for, like, really cheap, okay? And they're Ziploc, Mylar bags, food grade. And then they come with the little packets of the oxygen absorbers, right? Absorbers. So you put that in there, you Ziploc it, put it in the bucket, put a lid on it, and label it. And, you know, look, we're in the business of planning, financial planning, okay?
In all shapes and forms.
Yes, but I do have a little wheat and some rice in my 5-gallon buckets. I have a couple of really good wheat grinders. I do make my own bread every week. I grind my own wheat. You know, that stuff stays fresh. Those loaves of bread, a couple of weeks, fresh.
Ground, you got some fish right outside, right?
That's right. Fresh ground Montana wheat, a little bit of yeast, some honey, some water. I do throw in a little white flour sometimes just to lighten it up a little bit. That's good stuff, man. Okay, anyways, be thinking about your rice supplies. Barry, when you talk on those financial plans, I'll bet your financial planning software doesn't have anything to do. You don't ask them how much rice do you have.
Right. Maybe we should.
But look at some parts of the world, many parts of the world, rice is their staple, okay? All right, so I'm just letting you know. Now, as far as earnings go, Schlumberger, SLB, which sounds like a cheese company. You know, give me some of that Schlumberger cheese. Schlumberger is a big, I would say all the big ones missed a little bit. You had yesterday Halliburton missed, yesterday Baker Hughes missed, and yesterday SLB. But I would say outside of the tech sector, that oil service sector looks promising, and a lot of those stocks have pretty low PEs. American Express beat earnings. I don't have much interest in American Express. It's down 4%. CSX, big railroad company. They missed their earnings estimates. It's down 3.7% today. Comerica, which has been the other sector that has, other than tech, which has been pretty good, the regional banks and the financials. Look at Schwab, earlier this week up 11.6% in one day. And Morgan Stanley was up 6.8%. Comerica is down 3% today. Regions Financial, another regional bank, down 2.5% today. Let's take a look at one more intuitive surgical. It's down 1.9. Okay, now the point of all of these reports, we're going to sum it all up today. 60 S&P 500 stocks reported this past week. That's going to influence, that's going to impact. How's it going so far? What's the trend? Because why? Because we're watching for the trend to start to level off and future earnings expectations to start to drop. And we're watching for the next earnings recession, which hasn't happened since 2008. That's right, 2008. We're in 15 years of expanding earnings, except for a few anomaly years. And when that earnings growth comes to an end, the bull market that began in 2009 will come to an end. That will be in today's newsletter, very important update on this earnings season, actually tomorrow's newsletter. You can get that by going to our website at GundersonCapital.com. We try to be right, not through artificial intelligence, but just a little hard work and logic, and try to bring you the best forecast we can for the overall market, because it all begins there, right? GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We've got looking at the Dow, which has had a good week. It's had a better week than the NASDAQ has. The Dow also broke out for real this past week. It made three attempts earlier this year, middle of the year, about the middle of the year, made three attempts, really good attempts at breaking out, pulling back each time. It needed to get through a certain level. I want to say it was 35,200. It finally broke out with a vengeance. It was the day that Schwab was up 11.6%. I believe that was on Tuesday.
And that's one of my favorite sections of your newsletter.
Yes.
Technical analysis side.
The NASDAQ finally had a breakout, which was inevitable. And I don't think there's a whole lot of resistance between where it's at now and its all-time high, getting back to its all-time high. But we'll look at that today and update it, see if we see some issues there. The Dow today is led by Merck, up 1.4%. Merck's just a so-so stock. I mean, they have, I think it's Keytruda. Is that their big drug?
Maybe they make the other, maybe they make the other 75% of the stuff that, Pfizer was making in North Carolina.
Could be
I don't know. I've been waiting to see. It was odd that a lot of those other names, because Merck was up yesterday too, I believe, for a while. It was odd how I think naming off, Bristol, there's a bunch of those bigger
Johnson
names
and
were
Johnson.
Up. Well, yeah, and that
they
one,
had
so.
A big earnings
they
report.
They had an earnings
now.
Report, though, yeah. So.
Intel's up today. Intel's all over the place. I don't know what to make of Intel. Procter & Gamble's up 1.2. Oil's having a good day. Chevron is up 1.2%. And we learned this past week that Exxon is getting into the lithium mining business. I guess that's called diversification. The loser in the Dow, American Express, down 4.1%. Looking at the S&P 500, Zoetis. Ah, that's one I've owned in the past. That's the big veterinary medicine company. I mean, they dominate the industry. If you're a veterinarian or you have pets, Zoetis really dominates that industry, ZTS. I just haven't seen it undervalued recently.
Was that one that spun out? I remember is that one
I
that
think
spun
it was
out
spun
of
off
another,
maybe Abbott Labs, I want to say.
Something like that. I think you're right. Yep, I remember.
And by the way, Abbott Labs had a nice breakout yesterday. Etsy's up 5.5% today. That's a stock that's pretty volatile. Oracle, kind of an under-the-radar AI stock. They're the database, king of databases. Oracle's up 2.9%, and it's a dividend payer in the tech space.
And that's been a nice addition.
Yes. And then, now, here's a few disturbing ones, all right, because these are kind of bellwethers of the economy. IPG is a worldwide advertising company. And, you know, it's been said, and I've seen it, having grown up in the advertising billboard business, when the economy starts to go sour, the first thing people cut is their advertising, you know? That's just the way it is. And this stock is down 11.5%. So is this some kind of a signal that maybe the economy, global economy, is softening? Then another one, used cars, Auto Nation is down 6.9% today. And then another bellwether of the overall economy would be the railroads. Not like they once were, but still they play an important part in the overall economy. CSX is down 4.2%. And then another bellwether of the economy would be oil and gas drilling. SLB is down 3.3%. So keep that in the back of your mind over the weekend, something to worry about. And the lithium stocks are selling off today. Albemarle is down 4.6%. Looking at the NASDAQ, which is undergoing... Now, I'm not seeing anything show up here that's sticks out to me as far as this rebalancing, other than Texas Instruments is up 2.6%. That's probably because they reported earnings. That's not a bad chart on Texas Instruments, but I kind of put Texas Instrument in the same boat as Intel. Not really a leading stock in that sector. And the other one that's having a good day is ASML after a two-day sell-off.
Mm-hmm.
Big sell-off. You know what? That just is one. Now, that's at the upper echelon of the semiconductor industry. It's up 2.1%. And the overall winner today is Trump. Trump's DWA, whatever that thing is. It's
DWAC,
up
yeah.
50, let's see, I saw it here a minute ago, 55%, something like that. So that's how we're going to end the week. We're going to have about a third of the earnings now in, with still two-thirds to come. We did dabble, finally get into a little bit of tech, but, you know, we still have a lot of important earnings reports to come in from the likes of AMD and Microsoft and Google, Alphabet, and all the others. So that probably is going to be coming in next week. This past week, the two big ones were Netflix and Tesla, and they flopped, and that impacted the NASDAQ. And then the big ones on the Dow that impacted the Dow were Johnson & Johnson, which had a big week, and then a few others of the financials. So, anyways,
yeah,
that's
next week will be interesting, won't it? I was looking at the earnings calendar, what we got next week, and then of course, Fed's meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week.
Okay, is your guess that they'll hike a quarter point or they'll leave it alone?
Yeah, but mine would be the quarter point. I mean, it seems that way. That, right?
Yeah. If they don't do a quarter of a, if they do a quarter of a point, the market will be
it's already priced
angry
it in, probably.
For a couple of days. Yeah. And if they don't do the quarter point hike, you'll probably have a jubilant couple of days.
Yeah.
That's the way the market works. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. We're coming to Michigan in mid-September. We're finalizing the plans there. Will be our first foray to Michigan. We got a show there every morning and have a lot of followers there, so we'll be looking forward to that. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST or get our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.